types that I try to solve real, non-existent, knotty questions. Where, you know, if I get to kind of peek in under the hood with my rational portion of my brain, I realize that is complete absurd nonsense. And, you know, why am I wasting so much of my time troubling myself with something that makes no sense whatsoever? So I would assume it would scramble my memories as far as what the clock said the previous time, but I'll have to remember to kind of try that. But this is another thing that I'm thinking of, which is relatively simple. We all kind of take it for granted, and yet, as I mentioned, apparently most of us cannot actually accomplish this while we're in a dream. It's not like Paul said that you can't fall out of the bed. Unfortunately, there are times you can fall out of the bed, which is why hospital beds have those bars that goes up. Because occasionally patients have been known to get out, you know, to fall out. So that's not necessarily true. It's difficult to do that, and a lot of times our brains kind of trick us into thinking we're falling, and we kind of grab for the mattress, and we're in the middle of it. But there's still one function that we all do every day, we take for granted, and when I heard about it, I thought back to all my little dream fragments, and I could not recall a single time I ever tried to do this in a dream.
Hey, Roy, those bars, you know what they're for? That's for the patients that want to get the hell out of there. They want to trap them in there. Just kidding. Back to you, Roy.
Well, it helps for those guys, too, you know, because it's not fun being in a hospital bed. Yeah. Anyway, any guesses? We're still looking for the master answer.
It's WA2VDH. Due to my recursive nature, I'm going to say falling asleep.
No, it's not falling asleep. I'm trying to think back. I think I've dreamt that I fell asleep and had a dream within a dream, which I felt was rather weird and interesting, but I think you can dream that you're dreaming. There was another person. You want to ID yourself?
This is Brian, CAF 2CC.
Okay, Brian.
Urination and defecation.
Don't think so. I mean, I don't really think in terms of whether I ever did that during a dream. Dreams, at least the ones I remembered, were more, you know, getting to a point or doing something specifically that wasn't kind of required biologically. So I think you probably can. I don't know of any kind of inhibitor for either of those per se.
I thought you said that there's one thing that you couldn't do while you were asleep.
Yes, yes. Well, most people can't do this thing that you do every day.
That's why I thought it was, urination, defecation.
No, you gotta go back to the clue and try to think in terms of what you do each day, and, you know. Well, in truth, we do. There's a lot of things we kind of do every day, but this is one that I completely took for granted. I had kind of sussed out all kinds of weird aspects of dreaming, the critical thinking and memory and such, but this one was kind of surprising to me. Only in retrospect did I kind of do one of those aha things that I always like to learn stuff that I, you know, just never occurred to me until that point.
Well, come out with it. What's the answer?
Well, yeah, I don't want to kill the puzzle, any earlier than I have to. So we'll give it one more try. If anyone has any ideas, wants to throw out any suggestions, please feel free. Otherwise, I'll just give you the answer.
KE2ZO Echo 2 Alpha Juliet Uniform.
Yeah, we got a triple there. I think I heard Charlie Clara. So, Charlie, you got an answer?
You cannot die in your dreams.
Well, I'm not 100% sure. That sounds that's kind of like the the plot of horror movies. You know, if you die in your dreams, then you die in real life. So, although I'm not quite sure, you could do things that you think are going to kill you, like you could fall from heights and such, and you probably wake up by the time that before you reach the ground. But I'm thinking of you don't die every day. So the premise is this is something you do every day.
WA2
VFM. Yes.
Good evening. I think I just heard someone say, if I heard that correctly, that person did not hear of a situation called sudden cardiac death.
I think he meant that you can't dream that you die in your sleep or die in a dream. I think that's what, because that's what we're talking about right now. We're not talking about doing things in real life. We're talking about when you're embedded in your dreams. There are things that everyone has done, like fly, and then there's a few things that you just can't do. You can't kind of generate a dream where you do this action.
Okay, well, I was listening to all types of verbiage about can you do this, can you do that in sleep, and when I tuned on a second ago, I thought that Tommy was you could not die in dream without saying dreaming that you're dying. So, okay, great, I appreciate WHCFM.
Okay. Anyone else with any guesses or comments before I let it out?
KE2DLV. This is Tom. Is it sneezing?
Okay, that's interesting. But no, it's not sneezing. I think you can sneeze in your dreams.
Stop breathing.
Well, again, so what you're saying is that you can't dream that you stop breathing. Well, that kind of gets into the death part. I don't know. That's an interesting, weird one. And true, you do breathe every day. It's kind of a limited concept for a dream. If you stop breathing, you're basically dead. So you're dreaming again that you're dead, I don't think my dream would kind of concentrate on the not breathing part. I think I'd concentrate on the dead part, but I don't know. But that wasn't what I was looking for.
I had a dream about a car muffler. I woke up exhausted.
Yeah, I was assuming there was a punchline at the end of that. It just sounded like a setup for a joke. Okay, I guess I've kicked this horse as much as I'm going to kick it. You can't read in dreams.
You can't read? What do you mean, actually read while you're sleeping?
Yes, you can't read signs or books or the title pages. A few people can. There are two speech centers in our brain, Broca's area and Wernicke's area, and they both get inhibited during sleep. In some special cases, for people who are professional writers and or poets, they apparently process text a little bit different than us average people. So they have been known to be able to read writing in a dream. But for most of us, and in retrospect, again, when I kind of run through my list of dream fragments, I do not recall a single time. I'm a reader. I read every day, and I don't remember a single memory fragment of me reading anything during a dream.
Roy?
And 2MES with a comment.
Yes, comment.
Okay, well, I have Parkinson's, and people with Parkinson's dream in like 3D. It's called vivid dreams, and let me tell you, it's quite unique. I just thought I'd bring that to the table.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Sleep is a fascinating subject to me personally, and dreams especially. I mean, I've always kind of wondered what's going on underneath the hood. I've always had a pet theory that it's part of the shifting memory, components from short term to intermediate, and intermediate to long term, and as they get kind of moved around, they bang into each other and kind of promote the things that we perceive as dreams. Thank you for adding that as well. But it just struck me as fascinating because I never noticed that in all my years, that I never read the title, the cover of a book. I have books all over this place. And I cannot recall a single time in any of my dreams looking down on a book and reading the cover. So it seems to be interesting to me. I hope it's interesting to you guys. I was expecting to at least find some guy who kind of come on the repeater and said, that's not right. I dream about books all the time. Maybe they're a book publisher or something. I don't know.
WA2VFM.
Yes.
A bigger question. KF2CZ.
Yeah, first VFM.
Okay, I guess a little bit of your Brooklyn accent. Some advice that you've got. I thought that was very cute. But let me ask you something. Isn't it a fact that most people, even though they may dream, that they don't remember what they've dreamt? I think it's very few people. There's very few people who can wake up and say, you know what, last night I dreamt da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Isn't that accurate?
Yes, and if you caught the beginning of the discussion on dreams, I mentioned to people that our memories are kind of inhibited. And the only time at best that we remember our dreams are when our dreams are kind of interrupted and we're awakened prematurely. So we kind of have a bit of it in our memory caches, and if we concentrate on the dream as best we can, we kind of take an internal memory snapshot now that we're conscious and our memory systems are back online. So if you wake up and you think you had a dream but you don't really concentrate on it, in a matter of seconds it'll just fade away until all that's left is I had some kind of a dream. The more that you concentrate on it, as soon as you enter consciousness, the better the chance you have of a snapshot. It's not a beautiful high-resolution one. It's rather blurry, and you piece together little fragments from broken dreams where you woke up in the midst of it and were able to capture those little pieces.
Okay, so just tell me that if you say individual remembers a dream, does it require that there's some degree of consciousness that in your mind to be aware of it so that when you wake up, you can recall it? You recall things when you're totally... I'm curious about that.
I tend to think it's the abruptness of being broken out of a dream where the memory is inhibited, but it's not completely inhibited. Like most things, it's not a 0-1 type of thing. And if you concentrate on it, you can kind of freeze at least a portion of it. It'll be somewhat distorted, probably, or kind of cut into a shorter piece than it really was. But I think the trick is to kind of that the memory stays for seconds when you're under. So if you go from rapid eye movement to regular sleep to waking up, by the time you've made that transition, all those transient memories have completely faded away and you don't even remember that you had a dream. If you wake up while you're dreaming or seconds after you finished a dream, then there's an opportunity to kind of capture some of those memories back into your conscious memory folders, as opposed to the very short-term storage facility that manifests when you're sleeping.
Okay, I don't want to labor this curious. My way of thinking, even though you are in REM sleep or another phase of sleep, in order for you to remember an event, there must be some level
with some degree of consciousness as to what the factoids, the things going on, are. But subsequent to awakening, to reflect back to that portion of the dream that you recall, would you say that it requires some degree of consciousness? Not fully conscious, but some degree.
Well, again, there's very often no real binary zero and one. And I think there's a transition when you break out of rapid eye movement sleep into wakefulness. You know, it's not a instantaneous process. There are things getting turned on, things getting turned off, and during that very, very short interval, you might have the opportunity to access things. You know, whether you want to call it the consciousness or not, I think it's probably going to end up to be a lot more complicated than merely, you know, subconsciousness, consciousness, one zeros. So, but, you know, the field is still open for a lot of investigation. People are doing a lot of work on it, and who knows what kind of secrets they'll figure out.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the clarification. This is at other stations. Thank you again, Roy, WA2CFM.
You're welcome, Stu. Brian, you wanted to ask something?
Oh, I'm listening intently. Brain is a unbelievably sophisticated organ, and I'm sure that's an understatement. Medical science knows 0.5%. I think they know a lot.
Yeah?
NY2H.
Yes, Lou?
One of the recommendations that you try to recall or recount a dream is when you awaken, try to hold your sleep position. Whatever position you're in, don't move. Just try to clear your mind. And like you said, sometimes you'll catch a thread of it, and that thread, you pull on that thread, and the dream is back. There are occasions where I could not remember the details of a dream, but I still remember the emotion. So somehow the emotion seems to have a more lasting impression than the factual aspects of the dream. But also there are times where during the day something may remind me of the dream, and then I recall it. So it's kind of unusual. There's one other thing I want to mention here. Let me let it drop. NY2H. So on Wikipedia, there's a section called List of Works Based on Dreams. And they have various sections like inspirations for foods, artistic work like song compositions. There's also a section for science. And there's a few of them here, like Descartes claimed that three separate dreams that he had on November 10, 1619, revealed to him the basis of a new philosophy, the scientific method. The chemist Dmitri Mendeleev is said to have invented the modern periodic table in a dream where all elements fell into places required. And they go on and on. Sewing machine, Elias Howe, something with the needles, how to make benzene, discovered seemingly impossible chemical structure of benzene, C6H6, group of snakes swallowing their tails, Niels Bohr's structure of the atom, and so on and so forth. So you can look that up on Wikipedia. It's List of Works Based on Dreams.
Yeah, I already knew some of them. I knew the benzene ring one because I was a chemistry major, so that's a story that's always told. I don't know. This theoretical physicist apparently has ridiculous dreams like I do, where I've solved problems after a good night's sleep with no memory of having dreamt about the subject. I just kind of assume that a lot of times after a good night's sleep, it's kind of amazing little bits and pieces of things you can do. People who studied Morse code tend to report that they might have a little problem with it.
And 2LDY.
All right, Roy, you're back. I see you did drop that time.
Yeah, it'll be up, and I started it again. I don't know why it's doing this. But I don't know where I cut off. Benzene, I know of. It's just that I've kind of solve problems while I was sleeping, but without any kind of memory that I dreamt up the answer. But most of the time when I woke up in the dream, I realized that whatever thing I was working on was completely absurd. So unfortunately, all my efforts during dreams tend to be for nonsense.
Except I may counter that, you know, symbolically, you may have been solving a silly problem, but it may have analogs in real solutions. So it might just be the same techniques that you would use, but even though it was on nonsense, maybe it's teaching you something. I also think that dreams set us up for situations that we may encounter in real life. So if it's an emergency situation or something, you see how you react in the dream. It's almost a learning experience for real life. Anyway, I think LDY Don is in there also, so you may want to turn it over to him. But back to you, Roy.
Okay, LDY.
Good evening, everyone out there. I was listening, and I just wanted to throw one comment in. I've had lots of lucid dreams in my time. And I used to have like a little, like an incantation or something that, you know, I printed out and I had it stuck to the headboard here. And essentially it would say, when I sleep tonight, I'll dream a lucid dream. And, when I wake in the morning, I'll remember the dream and stuff like that. But, you know, just giving yourself the, it's okay to dream this dream tonight and remember it tomorrow, is a big help. So I just wanted to throw that out there because it's helped me have some really cool dreams.
Oh, okay. I mean, would love to have another lucid dream. Like I said, I was 8 years old when I had my first and only that I recall. I have a lot of broken fragment memories of dreams from times when I'm just about to wake up and I suddenly, it dawns on me that my position is weird. That this is not compatible with normal life as I perceived it. And I kind of, at this point, kind of automatically say, oh, dreaming again. I can't really control the dream. I just kind of realize it. And I also, from past experience, know that its lifespan from that realization is practically in seconds. Because usually that's when I, a few seconds later, I wake up and kind of rerun as much as I can for my memory stores and such. But maybe someday I'll get another lucid dream, and hopefully I'll spend it on something more creative than a projection television.
There are devices to induce lucid dreams, and there are also techniques that you could Google to help you induce a lucid dream.
I've noticed. I think the problem I tend to think is that there's a way too much woo-woo going on in the subject. Because I kind of Googled books on sleep, and you get these touchy-feely transcendental books. For the most part, you have to actually use the key sleep physiology to get actual scientific stuff. So, my problem would be that I don't know how much of it, the stuff that's written on the subject, is just woo-woo, and how much of it is legitimate. Yes, Jeff?
Quick question on the theory or the hypothesis that shuffling things between, I guess different sectors of our memory, short term, medium term, long term. What if those are text based? How do those fit into this if there's no text in the dreams? It seems that those two ideas are contradictory. If you remember something that's text-based, And, you know, I'll remember something. You read a lot, and you read scientific literature. I'll read something in the scientific literature, and I'll remember the actual words on the page and where they were on the page, if that makes sense.
Okay, but do you see the words on the page? Because the problem is Broecker and Wernicke is, you know, if they're damaged as opposed to inhibited, you develop aphasia. So internally, you know, people with the Broecker's aphasia, you know, they can think that they're talking. But to them, it sounds fine. It's the people on the outside that have the problem. So you can most likely process information that was text-based. It's just that when your dreaming is going on and it's inhibited your Broecker and Wernicke center, you're not manifesting those as whatever dreams exist as. It, you know, you could still be processing text-based information as far as memory retrieval, I would assume. It's just that it wouldn't leak out into your dreams because those portions of your brain have been inhibited due to the fact that you're REM sleeping.
ACTPL. Yeah, I don't have deep enough understanding of that physiology aspect, but and I'm not claiming that I've seen anything textual in a dream. Quite the opposite. I agree entirely. I've never seen anything textual in a dream, but I do remember things textual for decades and beyond, which is what puzzles me. If there's some functionality of dream processing in long-term storage, QSL.
I'm not quite sure if the dream is the method for any memory storage capability. I tend to think it's a manifestation, a kind of side effect, if you will, of the moving around memory blocks in your brain when your brain is kind of half powered down. So it manifests these weird little things. But I don't think you have to necessarily dream these things in order. Sorry, guys. I don't know. Keeps on knocking out. So I keep on starting the application. I don't know. Anyway, as I was talking to you, Jeff, I don't think that the dream is the ultimate thing that is required for any of the memory and other processes that go on during sleep. I think it's kind of a side a function, a kind of a side effect that doesn't really cause any problems, and so it evolved to remain with us in this interesting semi-creative mode.
ACTPL. Yeah, I guess it's you know, I was thinking too literally with regard to what you said, but it's a very, very curious thing, and I appreciate you. I really appreciate your quizlet on it tonight. I must say that I've, in dreams, very realistic dreams, I've experienced what should be a grave injury and not felt any pain. So that's another interesting thing. Anyway, ACTPL, thank you, Roy, and back to Matt, and I'll be listening.
You're quite welcome, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you have the opportunity to kind of collect as much of your dream memories as you can in the wake state, and you kind of try and figure the plot, a lot of times things just are incredibly absurd. And very often I've kind of thought to myself, geez, you'd think that I would have noticed that these things are missing, or these things would never happen, or what have you. But again, it's the simple concept that you can turn your critical thinking off. Unfortunately, I've met a few people who've never had their critical thinking on. But nevertheless, when you sleep, all kinds of silly, foolish, impossible things can occur, and that's usually been the way that I detected that I was awakening from a dream, was when things that never made sense are perceived as not making sense, if you understand what I'm trying to get across.
Will do one?
Yes?
Yeah, I was going to throw one of the comments in there. I was thinking Edison, what I read about Edison was when he went, he would, you know, sit down and take a nap, and he would hold like two metal balls, you know, one in each hip, and then there was some, like, garbage can lids or something next to there. When he would actually fall asleep, he would drop the weights into the can lids and it would wake him up, you know. That would help him remember whatever he was dreaming about or trying to invent or something.
Okay, as I recall, he used...
Is there a new topic now? Can't you see it?
Yeah, Roy dropped out again. He's going to reconnect. Got a wife. The wife.
Yeah, I'm dropping out all over the place with All Star. So I'm sorry for the gaps. But,
approve.
You know, if... Say again? Okay. Once again, I am AC2GS. I hope everyone enjoyed the puzzle. I really enjoy these puzzles. I enjoy them almost as much as Dick used to when I would come for the science talk and tell him that I had a couple of puzzles that I was going to do one that day and the next one next week and the next one the following week. He would have none of it. He wanted all three puzzles that night. Because he enjoyed them so much. So I always look forward when I suddenly discover something that would fit the key to the TechNet puzzle parameters. So I hope you all enjoyed it, and I'll go back there and look for some more. And as always, if anyone would like to share some great insight with me, send it via email, and if it passes the sniff test, I'd love to use I'd love to do more TechNet puzzles as the TechNet progresses.
Roy, NY2H. I'm noticing when you drop out, the audio drops out first, then maybe 10 seconds later the connection drops. Are you dropping the connection on purpose to restart it, or is it dropping by itself after the audio fails?
After the audio fails, I'm terminating the application and restarting the application.
Okay. So the connection does not fail. However, the audio drops out. And you're using that IAX RPT software?
Yep.
All right. By the way, your EchoLink connection is solid. You've been connected for over 2 hours now on that one. So, I don't know, is it just as easy to use the EchoLink one instead of the All-Star?
No, it's a little more convoluted for something like that.
All righty. I wonder if maybe you should reinstall that software. And your EchoLink and your IXRPT, they're on the same computer?
No. The EchoLink is on a Lenovo on the side, going through a VPN.
Going through a VPN, that's interesting. I guess using a proxy server. They're both going through your same router, though, right?
Yeah, they're going through the router. The reason why I need to use the VPN for the EchoLink is because I'm using EchoLink. I'm the server for my other club's repeater. So I have that EchoLink running on my main computer, and I have this EchoLink just as an audio recording so that I can listen to if it's different than what I'm getting from the primary recording. And EchoLink gets very upset with people having two instances of EchoLink, even though they're operating on two accounts, using the same ISP IP address. So that's why it's hiding behind a VPN, so EchoLink doesn't get upset with me.
Okay. Although I have gotten trouble having two EchoLink connections with the same account info, but I believe they were on different IPs, but I'm not sure. All right, whatever. All right, well, we got to get to the bottom of this because it's... and at the beginning when you were starting to use this, I guess you didn't have this issue, so perhaps maybe you reinstall the...
That's time.
Yeah, this is a new Michigas. Usually what happens is I get some kind of either input or output dropout, usually about 2 hours plus into the TechNet, you know, usually around the SpaceNet report time. But this is kind of the wonkiest it's ever been. I mean, if I could kind of reboot the whole computer without it taking 10 minutes, I probably would, but it would just take too long.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, maybe you can check the audio source. You know, sometimes maybe the app, because it's not disconnecting. You're doing that manually. So maybe the app is losing the audio sometimes on these Windows machines. You know, there's a grab for the audio, and maybe you have another app that's taking it away or something. So I don't know. Yeah, like you say, Michigas, that's the byword, and Y2H.
Yeah, that's the technical term. Brian, did you want to talk a little bit?
I'm still here. I'm just on the side listening. Curiously, when I'm listening, I hear people speaking over the repeater announcing itself. How is that possible?
It depends upon where you're listening from the signal. You have to understand that there's this at least four different gateways kind of carrying audio. There's the All-Star node, there's the Echo Link node, there's the Glen Oaks node, and there's the Selden node. So depending upon which repeater or node you're listening to, some of it bleeds into the input and some doesn't. Like when I'm listening here on All-Star, I don't get the Morse code identifiers and other little bits and pieces of the transmission because they're not channeled into All-Star. So it sort of depends upon whether you're listening to a radio or whether you're listening to All-Star.
There you go again. Check your audio connection now.
I wonder if it's also the ability to go ahead and speak from point to point and not need a repeater.
Sorry, I fell off All-Star again. Could you repeat what you just said?
I said I wonder if it's also possible that I could communicate with you point to point and not need the repeater.
Yeah, it depends where you are. Usually it depends where you are theoretically, but in realistic terms, the way that I'm set up, you can't do point to point because I'm not actually using a radio because I'm located at Brooklyn, right near Coney Island, and apparently that's not the greatest place for W2VL's reception. So up until a year or two ago, my signal was kind of getting degraded, and so we came up with this solution. So I'm actually going through Internet. The All-Star node is a voice-over Internet protocol. So there is no radio point for me right now, so there's no point-to-point you could kind of do.
You're not doing any RF?
No, not tonight. No, it's basically I'm going through a node that's connected to the two repeaters. So they get my signal and they push it out to that and to Echo Link, and all the audio, most of the audio, gets channeled back into the All-Star node, and I pick it up through the Internet. So I'm not operating RF right now.
Sounds pretty well. Of course you're cheating, but I like it.
Well, you know, the ultimate thing is to get the technical net done. Whether I do it, I think, through Internet protocol, voice over IP, or radio waves, I think is a far distant secondary to being understood and hopefully informative and entertaining. So you got to basically figure out what you're looking to do. Here it's not so much play radio as it is to inform and educate and entertain. This morning, if it makes you feel any better, I was on proper 10 meters radio doing my 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.
Marshall McLuhan would disagree with you. Famously said, the medium is the message.
Yes, indeed. Well, it wouldn't be the first time I would contradict people smarter than me.
Listen, I knew this marriage of technology was going to be coming many years ago. It's no surprise. All this technology with the internet and then connecting to networks and gateways. You know, I do it all the time professionally, and it's not a surprise. And actually, it has some good things that let you go speak to other people and other places that you normally couldn't reach traditionally. But nothing is more fun than the spontaneity of getting a contact.
Yes, indeed. I agree with you. RF is the way, but, you know, until or unless Limark puts up a repeater someplace in Brooklyn, it looks like this is my best option for the time being. It does offer some benefits. I'm able to operate full duplex, so if someone talks over me, I can hear it instantly and either decide to talk louder or to shut the heck up. So it's nice to be full duplex. Dick, K2RIW, did it the old-fashioned way. He had two radios, and he had enough land to be able to put them far enough apart from each other to not desense his radios. I couldn't do that. If I tried to transmit on my other radio, I'd desense the receiver in, so I wouldn't be able to hear my transmissions. So this is the best way that I could do duplexing.
When is your 10-meter net, and on what frequency?
It is every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time on either 28.380 or sometimes 28.381, because I have a little bit of a noise spur in my area that I need to kind of move a little bit to the right to clear myself of the background noise. So 28.380 or thereabout every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time.
I will check into that. And, of course, you're doing RF on that one, right?
Yes, I'm doing single sideband.
Sounds good. I'll come next week. I'll check it out. Thank you. I also sent you that email you liked.
Okay, very good. Hopefully I'll have a little time during Paul's segment to put it up for people to look at. Unfortunately, John in Florida is not here tonight, so I guess we'll discuss his interesting collateral that doesn't look like a collateral to me next week when he returns, assuming he returns next week. And for those people, again, if you want to take a look at the antenna, you can go to roy.ac2gs.com, and that's my link page, and at the very top is the illustration that John sent me, and I said, geez, it looks like a G5RV. It really does. And yet, if you look up in some books, they will call it a two-segment collateral antenna. But we'll get into that hopefully next week. Anyone with any questions or comments tonight? We still got a little bit more time. Hopefully the All-Star isn't going to go out on me again. So assuming not, anyone with any other questions or comments or topics for tonight?
WS2N.
We lost Roy again. AC2GS, WS2N.
What can I tell you? I just keep on falling off the edge.
Okay. Anyway, I called you. I was going to comment, Roy.
Yeah, sure. Comment away.
Last week you brought up WCBS going off the air. Yeah, that's a station I listen to all the time. Well, it won't be anymore. Well, I'll be able to hear the Met game. They'll keep that on. but now they're changing their call letters to WHSQ. I don't know where they got that from. I looked it up just to see if it meant anything to them, but who knows. Anyway, it's a shame that they're going bye-bye. You know, that's a radio station that's been on AM radio for like 60 years. I remember listening to them way back when. And that leaves one main New York station, 1010 Winds, which is actually owned by that same company that owned WCBS. But here's a reason to have more amateur radio people in the New York area. You know, if you listen to the hams, you know, you're going to get some kind of news anyway of what's going on. Not as much as what they had, but at least it would be something. Anyway, back to you, Roy.
AC2GS. I think it was bought by ESPN. Do you know if that's the fact?
Yeah, I heard that as well, but this company, Audacity, I think that's the name, they own both companies and many other companies around the radio stations around the country. So, it makes sense if ESPN's got it, because they are going to keep the Met game on. Back to you, Ron.
Yeah, I pine for the good old days when there was a limitation on the number of newspapers you could own or stations you could own. If you got enough money, you can buy them all up and broadcast the same tap to every last one of them. I don't think it's a good move, but eventually someone's going to wake up and decide that they need to become a trust buster, and businesses will be very upset with them. So I don't know what that'll bring forth. But, you know, you remember the times where there were limitations of all manner of shapes and sizes. You couldn't simply buy up all the communications centers in a major city and just broadcast the same nonsense on all the channels.
Yeah, that's what's going on. And they said it's been going on for, you know, quite a few years. I think the late 90s, they changed a ruling on that week. These people could go and buy up as what, you know, whatever they want, but there is a limit. This company wanted to buy up another company or two, another radio station, and they had to drop off one or two other ones to do it. So there's some kind of complicated limit, but you know, it's not enough. You know, you're not going to get enough diversity across the band. And, you know, you go on AM radio from one end to the other. Well, I'm out here around Concord, and, you know, I'm in a fringe area to begin with. But, you know, I had CBS plugged into all my AM radios, you know. You know, the old transistor radio would take with me, you know, in the car. And there you go. Another one bites the dust. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, you got the win-wins, for the time being at least. The only constant in life is change, so it's best not to get used to too much anything, because given enough time, those things change as well. You just hope for the best and settle for the rest. Anyone with any comments, topics, what have you, before we kind of fold this segment tonight, please hit that push to talk.
Question.
By the way, Roy, I'm crazy about winds. No matter what radio I put on, there's this high pitched tone in the background. And on 1010 Winds, I thought it maybe was, you know, the radio, you know, the one of the IF filters or something, but it. No matter what radio I use, it's just this little high-pitched tone, you know, drives you crazy. You know, constantly, you know, it's always there. Back to you, Russ.
Oh, okay, I'll take a listen. I assume I'm not going to hear it, but, you know, who knows? You know, when you first mentioned it, I was kind of thinking maybe it's some kind of news alarm system, where it's supposed to be subaudible, but someone did something screwy with it and made it not quite subaudible.
Question in one whitey white.
Yes, thanks.
Hi, Roy. Don't mean to interrupt, but I was looking for your ad, not your address, but your web page address again to look for that antenna. What is it? It's AC2GS at the Kings County radio page?
Well, the easiest way is to go through the alias. The alias is roy.alphacharlie2golfsierra.com.
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, Roy,
you're welcome.
And he's got to put that into the URL, not search.
Well, yeah, that's the URL alias that I have for it.
Yeah, I remember Dick doing that. And he says, the Kings County keeps coming up. And then you told him that, no, put it into the URL.
Yeah, I mean, since I belong there and I fixed their website, I kind of borrowed a page or two for my own purposes with the little alias. So, you know, sometimes people get confused, and rather than they'll go to the page and they won't remember that I gave them an email address, you know, mailbag@ac2gs.com, instead they'll click for the administrator, and since it's the administrator of the parent website, some guy gets email from me and has to forward it.
Yeah, understood. Okay. Very good. I'll be standing by.
Okie doke. A couple people doubled. If anyone wants to make a comment, please try again.
Yes, V2BX. So, how you doing, Roy?
Doing fine, Frank. You just recently come on the Echolink? Because I didn't see you before.
No, I think I've been connected for an hour or so. Yeah, probably about an hour, maybe a little more. Anyway, I think that noise, it's not really a high-pitched whine, or I haven't listened recently on 1010 Winds. I think it's like the click, 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 if you listen closely, it's a rapid click. I think it was meant to be the old-fashioned teleprinter. Years ago, they had the teleprinters run in the background, you know, the news teletypes. Of course, now it's probably just a recording because nobody has that anymore. It's all screens. That's what I think it is. And I remember years ago, I switched as a kid. I went to CBS Radio, I think, because they didn't have that constant tick-tick-tick of the teleprinter. That's what I think you're listening to. I do remember listening to CBS Radio for years as a little kid. That was kind of weird. I liked to listen to the old news stations rather than the rock and roll stations. And yeah, they became ESPN Radio New York, I think, or ESPN New York Radio or something like that. Now I haven't listened to them, but that's what took over the station. Now, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Frank. Let me ask Paul. Does it sound like teletype sound effects to you?
No, I know what Frank's talking about. Yeah, I don't hear that anymore. But yeah, I see it at all time. It's very low. It's a high pitched tone. Probably, I'm gonna go, I don't know, maybe 600-700 hertz, you know, but it's in the background, you know, and it's there 24/7, you know, so I can put any of my transistor radios on, and I have that, so not in the car, but you know, a transistor radio. You remember now, I'm in a fringe area, so I think that's part of it. So it might be local. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, maybe it's a heterodyne.
Yeah, could be a heterodyne.
It sounds like that. I agree.
W-A-2-U-N-P?
Yes?
Yeah, good evening. This is Jim. I see the band is open. I'm out in Cape Cod. This repeater doesn't usually come in all the way out here in New England. How are you copying?
Folk quieting.
Okay, full quieting. All right, very good. I've got the Sheldon Long Island repeater programmed in, and every once in a while it does come in, and this is one of those times. Anyway, I just happened to be listening, and just wanted to say that, well, it's a shame that WCBS News Radio 88 always been very iconic. Originally, I'm from the just north of New York City. I grew up in Westchester, just north of New York City, and always the station that I listened to, and listened to it as a kid also. So anyway, with that, back to Net Control. This is Jim WA2UMP in Brewster on Cape Cod.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to hear you. Yeah, well, what can I tell you? Things change. I mean, this is not the first time. I used to really enjoy listening to WMCA when after the good guys, and when they had talk. They had liberal talk, they had conservative talk, they had crazy talk. It was a great station, but it was sold to some religious corporation, and that's the end of that as well. So, on to the future.
I guess all things do change, but it was such an iconic station that it will be missed. I still have it programmed in here, and it does come in loud and clear, even during, well, I don't know about clear, but it comes in during the day, and it is loud and clear at night. And you can use it just to test radio propagation also to see what areas are coming in. Anyway, that's my two cents. Sounds like you guys got a good net here. And I hear beeps and whatnot. How many are you guys are linked in through All-Star and what else?
We have an IRLP connection that's hooked up to a repeater in Ontario. We have Echolink, and we have All-Star, and we have two local repeaters that are linked through All-Star. One is Selden, the other is Glen Oaks.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, you guys are doing a good job out there. Anyway, that's all I have to say on that matter, and thanks for coming back with the Goodrich Signal report. And I will be listening kind of in background mode. Anyway, loud and clear here on the Cape, like you were next door.
Very good. Thank you very much, Jim, 73. I hope propagation conditions come back and you're able to drop by and visit us in the future.
Will do. And I also have all-star capability here, so I will look into connecting from time to time.
Ah, very good. Well, you're always welcome, Jim.
WBTBX,
Yes, Frank.
Yeah, I recall visiting London in 1976. I spoke to a guy on the London R7 repeater who told me, he said that on winter mornings on his way to work, or he would listen to News Radio 88 to get the news from America on his way to work, that it was quite readable across the pond, which just before sunrise, which of course is not at all surprising. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I used to hear regularly people who would listen to Chicago-based broadcast stations that were the ground wave propagation was a magical thing. Not that surprising. Again, the end of yet another era, but as one era closes, another one begins, and who knows what that will bring us. So, who knows? I mean, all things being equal, I'd rather be here now than, say, 50 years ago. So, you take the good with the bad.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, certainly, I'll be listening. I'll probably have to step out for a while, but I'll try to catch at least some of Paul's session. I know there's an awful lot going on in that realm. WB2BX.
Okie doke, AC2GS. Anyone with any closing comments before we end this portion, this particular segment of the Technical Net?
I give my blessings to WCBS 880 with their final transmission at midnight, and wish them luck in the new frequency, new call.
Okay, yeah, I hope everyone ends up positive. You never know. I don't know. Unfortunately, broadcast radio business is nothing like it once was. So I don't know what the profit margins are. They